Okay, so I'm going to give you some insight on a particular subject that I hope doesn't ruin my credibility, because I don't want to lose my credibility, and I want you to think I'm some quack from, you know, Sedona. This is all well thought, well reasoned, and albeit unorthodox concepts, but it still, I think, is relevant and timely. And as I conclude my remarks, it's important for me to convey to you that this has been thought out over a long period of time. And it was first brought to my attention by Halbert Katzen, who does a lot of scholarly work on the Arantxa book. And I believe I can make a convincing case that we are in the midst of a 7-year dispensation period, as mentioned in, of all places, the book Revelations in the Bible. It talks about the 7 crucial years. And it was marked by a solar eclipse on August 21st, 2017. And I believe it will end when another solar eclipse occurs on April 8th, 2024, in the 7th year. The December 24th solar eclipse, which will only be visible in South America and Africa, marks the halfway point between these two other solar eclipses that we see in the north. The information I'm about to present is to let people know that we're in a period of faith testing, maybe. Every person reading this will have to make their own determination as to what it means, but know that behind the scenes, there's some truly incredible things going on, which I'll shortly explain. The two solar eclipses that are 7 years apart, the first one appearing on August 21st, and the one coming up in 2024 on April 8th, intersect at Bald Knobs Christian Cross. It's an 111-foot structure in southern Illinois next to the Shawnee Indian National Forest, a place I believe is the gathering site for angels for a dispensational resurrection. Now, for context, let me bring in the current global situation and how it relates to the dispensation that we're in. I believe that Trump was a test for humanity. Could we see beyond a person's character and see good in their heart? Trump's harshest critics will deny that Trump, despite his bad demeanor, saved the lives of millions of people during his tenure. Jesus said, "How you treat the least of men is how you treat me also." So I thought of this in the years that Trump was in office, how much hatred was coming from the media. Jesus also said, "Be fair and kind to all, even those you despise, for it is harder to forgive your enemies than your friends." And I saw none of that coming from those who claim to be tolerant and inclusive. And one day history will show that the people's lives on the earth improved during Trump's presidency because he actually did what he said he was going to do, unlike many politicians, and the country and the world benefited from it. But so much hatred was generated in the constant press war, much of his truth or the truth of what he accomplished never got reported, and only the hatred was fomented to the masses, many of whom went along for it for years. In a free market system, when jobs and commerce is growing, everyone's quality of life benefits. This is true for people who are on assistance, as well as for people who are wealthy. The only thing Trump was hated for was his resistance to being politically correct. He was completely transparent, and for that, for not lying and being himself, he was hated and still hated. This isn't a pro-Trump. I'm just trying to illustrate that during the last 4 years, a lot of people hated this guy, but not for reasons you would think. The media, socialists, progressives, even our world adversaries on the world stage who have taken advantage of America's prosperity, the deep state institutional federal government, they all hated Trump because he held people accountable. He held the government accountable. He reduced a lot of waste. He did what a normal business person would do. But because he looked and acted like a bully, he was scorned. Now, all of these same actors are knowingly and willingly looking the other way on a fraudulent election, willing to believe the media's false narrative, willing to undermine the integrity of our U.S. election system. Just because they don't like the guy and are willing even to put two people in the White House who have clearly been compromised by the number one global adversary in the world, a nation that is 1.4 billion people strong and has absolutely asserted itself as being God of this planet. And I'm talking about Xi Jinping. Secularism is what awaits if China takes global dominance away from the U.S. And by tossing out anyone who brings up nationalism, we embrace an even more horrible regime, one that is not transparent, one that the media will support to no end because it will be allowed to promote its own secular agenda and who will export tyranny continuously for the next century. America, or at least many people in America, are showing a preference for the Chinese way of life. Small elites rule over large populations. And you ask yourself, what does all this have to do with a solar eclipse and a dispensation? Well, it began when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He was a revelation. When revelations come, messages from God, resurrections occur when the dead of an age are raised from slumber to begin their new existence in the spiritual world on high. These are known as dispensational resurrections or epical resurrections. And the last epical resurrection occurred when Jesus himself died on the cross. And he was resurrected on the third day. You would be correct to assume that most people do not believe this story, nor even know about it. But many do actually know this, and that is why I'm sharing this with you now, so that you will be comforted and prepared. In the world today, there are global pandemics, global communism, endless wars, and deceptive messaging to keep us deliberately misinformed. Think of how social media decides what can and can't be shared for fear of spreading misinformation. Think of how people couldn't openly discuss any criticism or cure of the coronavirus, as if it was social media's job to keep dissent from occurring. Think of how neighbor turned against neighbor on the mask issue and the Trump issue and every other issue that we find ourselves embroiled in today. And how political leaders have seized the moment of the coronavirus, of the China-based pandemic, to restrict not only movement, but even a way to make a living and feed your family. Targeting unlawful speech is emerging and seen as politically correct. Next will be religion, which will be deemed hate speech or hate thought. If you don't know that you are living in tyranny, then your eyes are not open. And no wonder. The media is supporting statism. Follow the experts. Don't deviate. Wear your mask. Stay at home. The state will take care of you. Don't even go to church. Pray at home. God will hear you. And so will Amazon. Much of this new dictum emerges as a philosophy that is spreading from China just as the virus is spreading. And it started during the dispensation. It was, in my opinion, China's plan to disrupt the U.S. and rid themselves and the world from American nationalism. they clearly made progress. Sadly, many Americans are unwittingly allowing China to succeed, and in doing so, we're led to a place where a compromised man is soon to be occupying the White House so that no one can stop Xi's China from dominating the world for the next 100 years. We will be dominated by a society that is secularistic. Paper 195 warns us of what that means. And that's, of course, a reference to the Urantia Papers, which I'll get to in just a moment. But even that isn't even the point. Xi, China, they're just minor players over the long haul. They're just dots on the historical map. The globalists are mere pathetic mortals who, in their hubris, think they can control the weather as well as human behavior. Spiritual progression is key. Without it, we are mere animals to be bought and sold. History shows us that those societies who nurture a healthy and progressive religion, one that holds family together and creates moral and ethical foundational blueprints for themselves as a culture, thrive. History shows that monotheistic cultures have done better over the long haul than paganism or atheism. And the reason this is true is because God is real. And when men and women are spiritually endowed with God's Spirit, that is our inheritance. That's what makes us special. Our country is proof that faith is a major contributing component in the character of our country. Pluralism, the freedom to practice one's faith, is connected to the progressive ideas of free speech and the free exchange of ideas. It is our spiritual insight that elevates man's dignity, and it shatters all castes, which is why, in the eyes of God, we are all equally bestowed, with the inalienable right to exist freely. It is those principles that make the American experiment unique and worth preserving. The Hebrew faith, which has become part of the cornerstone of the U.S. faith and the bedrock principle from which stems the idea that man belongs to a spiritual deity and therefore has free will, is what drove free market capitalism to innovate and raise the standard of living. 150 years ago, most people learned to read, starting with the Bible. Oftentimes, it was the only book in the house. This had a tempering but positive effect on our society. It made sure that as we developed with moral character, we did so with those moral guidelines that have served us, as well as other countries, just as well. Now, Jesus doesn't get the credit, but it was his teachings, as well as the influence of the philosophy of the Greeks, the moral law of Hebrews, the civic law of the Romans, that contributed to the elevation of man's dignity and self-control, where he could chart his own destiny, which was born and expanded upon by our early settlers of this country. And this is the spiritual progress of civilization that we are told about in the Revelation. Pause to consider that a country of 60 million people is under direct control of several drug cartels right now, who collectively earn more money than the world's biggest company, Apple. Take into consideration the fact that the second largest government in the world has over 1,000 concentration camps right now in Western China, where they torture, brainwash, and then sell the body parts of peoples whose only crime is that they have a religion. On the same day Human Rights Day, our press was using it to promote the rights of LGBTQ. Meanwhile, hundreds of Christians in Chad were being raped and killed. Meanwhile, no coverage from the American press. When spirituality, which is premised on salvation, love, and service, is dead, what replaces it is what we see emerging in full force today in our society. We are transitioning back to a savage civilization that cannot stand and will continue to deteriorate until society can rebuild upon a more enduring foundation. How long that process takes depends on what happens in the coming decades and where our leaders lead us. Many people believe the Bible warned us of this time, the so-called end days. And while I am not a biblical scholar or a Christian fundamentalist in my own views of such prophecy, I do see the signs of social stagnation taking place at a much faster rate than before. Our society is disintegrating, perhaps not so much in technology and in the efficiency of our machines, but the human spirit is disappearing, or perhaps even being driven out. Most people today are spiritually illiterate, meaning they barely have any concept of spiritual thought or theological education. It would be strange for a young person today to spend much time thinking about Jesus' resurrection, much less his teachings. The average person on the street may have heard of Noah, but do they really know about Job, David, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Abraham? Or can they even name the Ten Commandments, the first revelation we receive from God? Society today has little use for those kinds of things. Neo-modernism has designated that these theological ideas are hateful and discriminatory. In China, discussing these things on the internet can get your entire family in prison. And now the finale. We have in our possession a revelation of the Son of Man and the Son of God, and I believe it has signaled a new dispensation, a new period, a transitioning from one age to another. Now, according to this 2,000-page narrative that I've just referred to, it has been published and quietly circulating since 1955. It's a book which asserts itself to be a revelation of new spiritual truth. We are actually being ministered to by millions upon millions of seraphic guardians every single day. This comes from the Urantia teachings, as you know. When Christ left our world, he left along with the Spirit of Truth a legion of caretakers who would watch and guide over us so that we can proceed to that time in the future when there will be peace on earth and goodwill among all peoples. This revelation was given as a vision to John at Patmos and survived in the pages of the Revelations in the Bible. But the part of the story you may not know is that we now do have a revelation, and it is called the Urantia Book. What John saw was the vision of heaven, the afterlife, the place where dead souls go to resurrect. What is happening right now between these two solar eclipses is a dispensation period. After this period ends, what may reign is 1,000 years of terror, secular tyranny. And if you want to see what the future looks like, look no further than China, and then look to the West. If you want to ponder what the Antichrist might look like, then look to the CCP, the ruling power of China, that declares they are the ones who must control the world. And they do not do this for spiritual reasons, because they do not believe in spiritual things. They only believe in power and controlling the population. For no other reason than simply wanting to control the world's population in order to enjoy unlimited wealth, other world groups and elites are also arranging this kind of world control even as we speak. What these forces don't understand is that eventually they will fail because they do not believe there is such a thing as heaven, an afterlife, angels, Christ, or deity. They only believe in themselves and in their own power. And this is why they are emerging as temporal overlords who ultimately will fail because such governance is ultimately destructive. If the secular-totalitarian-elite continue on the path they seem desirous to achieve, in my opinion, it will be because the teachings of Jesus and the Jesusonian influence has temporarily yielded to the evils of humanity. But that is not why the dispensation is occurring, at least not the only reason. I have been informed by the revelation that Jesus was born on 7 BC on August 21st. It was the same year as a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn and the constellation of Pisces, and it occurred three times during the year of our Lord's birth, specifically May 29th, September 29th, and December 5th in 7 BC. That's taking into account the Julian calendar. And these dates, by the way, are verifiable with our new astronomy computer systems. We can process this and confirm those dates quickly. But nowhere else except right here will you have heard of this account of the Star of Bethlehem. That similar conjunction that I just described is also about to occur on December 21st of this year. The year Jesus was born, this conjunction appeared not once, not twice, but three times. And it left such an impression that it led to the story of the Star of Bethlehem. Nowhere else except right here will you have heard this account, unless you read it in the Urantia book. The information itself is previously unknown knowledge. I've also been informed that Jesus died on April 7th, went to his Father on April 8th, and returned on April 9th. The revelation I speak of states that dispensations usually are timed with epical revelations. Jesus was an epical revelation. When he died, there was a resurrection of the undead. The Son of God and the Son of Man herald in the New Age. Before him, Melchizedek, a teacher of light who taught Abraham. He was a revelation. Adam and Eve, themselves material sons and daughters, sent to uplift humanity, were a revelation because they represented the spiritual world as ambassadors of the kingdom. Our latest revelation is a message, and it's in a book. It's hard to crucify a book. Also, it makes it easy for everyone to know the truth firsthand. But the book doesn't state anything about the solar eclipses being the beginning of a dispensation or even a resurrection. It does say that when revelations occur, they are connected to a dispensational resurrection of sleeping survivors between the current epoch and the previous one. The previous one beginning with Jesus. So the resurrection that may be occurring now would involve all of the souls of survival value who have died since the times of Jesus. That's the importance of an epical revelation. What led me to all this wild speculation? What drove me to the conclusion that we are in the midst of a dispensational resurrection, which will end on April 8th in 2024 by the time the next solar eclipse occurs and intersects at Bald Knobs Cross, where I believe the Legion of Angels will gather and take the last 2,000 years worth of souls, the resurrection of the dead, and be ready to leave Earth when the solar rays are dimmed just enough to allow safe passage of the tens of millions of souls to the seven heavens, the mansion worlds of the resurrection. This period, the dispensational period, is a period of intense testing and faith. And the book of Revelations in the Bible states it's a seven-year period, a seven-year period of testing. And that was the final clue. So to summarize, here are the seven reasons I believe we are in the midst of a dispensational resurrection. First, the first and last solar eclipse occur first on Jesus' birthday. Then the third eclipse occurs on Jesus' resurrection. Both eclipses intersect at Bald Knob Cross. The second eclipse is exactly halfway between the other two solar eclipses and occurs with just a few days of the same conjunction that occurred three times in the year of Jesus' birth. Number five, we have an epical revelation, the Urantia Book, which discloses these key dates and events in our current generation and the entirety of the universe. The revelation not only reveals the life and teachings of Christ, but also the purpose of God in the creation of our universe. Resurrections occur when new revelations arrive. That's number six. And number seven, millions of angels would have to be involved and would probably leave from a central point. What better meeting place for a mass exodus of souls than the site of a Christian cross next to a remote national forest, ironically named after the same tribe who had a Native American prophet named Tenskwatawa, who actually prophesied that white man would destroy himself in the future. I also contemplated another factor, which I think is key to a massive resurrection of souls leaving Earth simultaneously, and how a solar eclipse would reduce possible energy bombardment on the seraphic hosts, making it easier for the mass exodus to occur. Now, I know I'm probably wrong on all this, and I wouldn't blame anyone for calling me just a little bit crazy. But something tells me that the solar eclipse on April 8th in 2024 is when the actual resurrection will conclude. And any human being alive will not be resurrected until the next epical revelation in the far distant future, possibly when Christ returns. I also believe that the en masse arrival of seraphic assistants probably occurred at the first solar eclipse, which was the birthday of Jesus, August 21st. And the process of gathering up all of those souls probably takes about 7 years. It's probably what they're doing now. Again, the Urantia Revelation states none of this. To state otherwise would be to compromise the integrity of the book. I make these speculations based on all of the events described above, taking into account the timing of the revelation, the political currents, the rise of atheism and materialism in our world, and the ongoing disintegration of society, and the fact that two solar eclipses miraculously intersect at a cross in the middle of nowhere, while a third eclipse falls in the middle of two bookend eclipses and just happens to coincide with the same planetary conjunction that occurred the year of Jesus' birth, that occurred three times in 7 BC. When you put all of that together, there are just so many intersectional events occurring that it can't be random. But only for the fact that I've studied the Urantia Revelation, I would be as clueless as the rest of humanity to this event that actually no human eye will even see on April 8, 2024. April 8, 2024 will either be the ending of the first dispensational resurrection or the actual event itself taking place on that day. An en masse exodus of seraphim and souls. And I will leave you with a brief paragraph of what a resurrection looks like, as they describe it, our unseen friends, in the Urantia Revelation from paper 113 or page 1247. And even so, when a planetary age ends, when those in the lower circles of mortal achievement are foregathered, it is their group's guardians who reassemble them in the resurrection halls of the mansion spheres, even as your record tells, quote, "And he shall send his angels with a great voice, and shall gather together his elect from one end of the realm to another." If you would like to talk more or learn about the Urantia Book and learn for the first time that you do have a soul and you can have a relationship with your spiritual creator, then reach out to me at yourranchobookradio@gmail.com. yourranchobookradio@gmail.com. I'm Jim Watkins with this edition of the Your Rancho Radio Podcast. Good luck and God bless.